Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Game six is tonight, and Anthony Davis is expected to play. Does that mean the Lakers will close it out? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcast. It's always going to be free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Andy, Locked On Lakers on YouTube, which is creeping up on 17,000 subscribers as that channel grows and grows and grows and grows, all of whom are excited to see that Anthony Davis is expected to play in Game 6 tonight, which was certainly not an inevitability after he left the floor on Wednesday in the fourth quarter, taking a forearm in the temple from Kevon Looney. So this was, but it's not even waiting up until game time, Andy. He's not in the concussion protocol, nothing. He's going to play.
Yeah. Really quick, by the way, before we get into the AD of it all, because you mentioned creeping up on 17,000. First, thank you all very much, and obviously spreading the word, letting people know. Secondly, I wanted to point out some jackwagon called the New Centrist left a comment. How is this pod still going? LMAOOO and four crying emojis. Who's watching? To which I responded, 16,000 plus subscribers.
All of these people.
And hundreds of thousands of views each month. If you ask nicely, maybe we can direct a few towards whatever you're doing.
And that, by the way, is just the video traffic, the audio traffic. That's a whole other.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Not to brag, but since the New Centrist, whoever that is, asked,
literally that, millions of people listen a year.
Yeah,
watch and listen, millions.
So anyway, there, Bucko. Yeah. As far as Anthony Davis, just adding on to these details, it's not just that he avoided a concussion. Thankfully, he's not even in any type of concussion protocol. Like, it seems like it has been fully determined that he avoided anything like that, which was obviously the worst case scenario, because if AD had a concussion, definitely ain't playing in game six. And frankly, game seven could have been a long shot.
I mean, it was technically possible he could have played in game six, but it certainly would have been unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, on average, I believe this stuff lasts about a week. So quite frankly, depending on if the Lakers closed this thing out and when the next round began, he could have been up in the air for the beginning of the Western Conference Finals. So thankfully, not an issue for Anthony Davis. This is obviously a really big deal for the Lakers, because beyond the talents AD brings to the floor on both ends, he is clearly who Golden State is focusing on the most. And more than anybody else, including even LeBron, Anthony Davis's absence would have created a massive opportunity for Golden State to take this thing to seven.
Well, there's nobody. I mean, LeBron is not the playoff LeBron of Miami, of Cleveland, but he's still a really effective player. We're talking about a guy who was, you know, third team All NBA and would have probably had a chance to be second team or something like that. Maybe more if he played more games. I mean, I think that's a lot of it. But Anthony Davis's skill set is harder for the Lakers to replace than LeBron's. You know, LeBron's ability to get down in the post and bully ball and stuff like that, they don't have a whole lot of that. But you can cobble together the shot making from other people, the ball handling from Austin Reeves and Dennis Schroeder and D'Angelo Russell. Like, you can kind of put it together. I'm not saying they're better without LeBron, it would be good. But when you take Anthony Davis out of the Lakers lineup, first of all, they have zero ability to protect the rim anymore. You are completely reliant on perimeter pressure, forcing turnovers, things like that. All of your rim protection is gone. And, you know, the ability of Anthony Davis to score in dynamic ways, to rebound, which has been an issue in this series, he just isn't replaceable for what the Lakers are trying to do. And if you got a, I'm gonna call it a must win, but awfully close.
From a pragmatic standpoint, this is a must-win game. You and I both pick Lakers in seven, so by definition, we believe they could win game seven on the road against these Warriors, but you don't want to have to prove it.
No, and I always pick these series less about, like, where would they have to win. I don't think about it. It's just like, how close are these teams? Are they close enough that it's like a coin flip? Well, that's basically a seven-game series. Do I feel a little more confident? Maybe it's 6-5. But you're right. I mean, obviously, definitionally means it is a more winnable game on the road in game seven, knowing that Anthony Davis is at least not going to be missing because of a concussion. I think we talked before game five that the Lakers might look at that game as something somewhat similar to the way they did game two, which is play hard, go through an opening if they give it to you, try to win it. But if you don't, we're coming home. And I actually think the Lakers were trying harder in game five than they were in game two. They just didn't play very well. It would be awfully, awfully good to win in game six and not have to go back there.
Yeah, I mean, so some housekeeping related to this. Mark Spears from ESPN and Anscape reported that Mo Bamba told him that should the Lakers advance to the next round, he thinks he will be available at some point in that series, which is great news, big picture. But what it also confirms is, had Anthony Davis not been available, or if he's not available for tonight, if that were in question, Mo Bamba is not an option. So if nothing else, people stop screaming at Darvin Ham for not playing him. He can't even if he wants to.
Mo will have an opportunity to not play in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, too. But that'll be a DNP CD, not an inactive. And then, you know, Wenyen Gabriel, you could maybe throw out there for 5 to 10 minutes if you have to and feel okay about it. But you're mostly looking at options where the Lakers go very small, try to make up for the lack of rim protection with, you know, skill and defensive pressure and speed and whatever. But Anthony Davis as both a backline and perimeter and everywhere else in between presence defensively, that is what makes the Lakers a truly at times special defensive team. Without him, they're nowhere close. And also, Anthony Davis playing in this game, Brian, provides an opportunity for him to give a lot of very high-profile figures double middle fingers.
Yeah, I want to get to that extensively in the next segment, for sure. Before we do that, though, we kind of talked about before game six or game five, you know, going into game, you know, looking at a potential game six too. Like, everybody's kind of used up their adjustments. I know people have talked about, you know, now that AD's back in the lineup, you know, the Warriors have been pretty good at pulling him away from the basket. They figured out ways to, you know, get the switches on who they want and all that kind of stuff, and involving Anthony Davis and stuff. Now, in certain games, it's worked better than others. We've been trying to do this since game two.
And it should be noted also as well, a lot of that has involved Andrew Wiggins, and Wiggins may not actually be available for this game. He is currently listed as questionable because of a rib cage issue. So
yeah, I've had that injury if I am understanding what it is, I've had that injury. It is enormously painful.
Right. So that's obviously a huge deal for Golden State if he's not available.
I would suspect he's going to play. But I'm sure the Lakers assume he will. If he doesn't, great.
He may be limited. You never know, you know, how good he's going to be.
Do you expect anybody to sort of try anything significantly different than what we saw in game five? I kind of feel like, you know, by game six, by game seven, everybody's done their stuff. You've seen, like, I'm not saying you might not see a possession here, tweak there, or whatever, but the big wholesale stuff where the Lonnie Walker plays for Troy Brown, or, you know, you're switching up. Like, I feel like this game is just going to be like, who can go out and take everything that they've learned, just do it better.
As far as Golden State goes, no, I don't expect many changes because this lineup that they landed on for game four, where Gary Payton II has been inserted in the, you know, revolving fifth guy role, I think has actually brought out the best version of Golden State. So I imagine that they will stick with that. As far as the Lakers go, our buddies over at Lakers Film Room, that podcast, which we always tell people you should listen to once you've obviously listened to us, Pete Zaya has brought up the idea of potentially starting Schroeder ahead of Vanderbilt just because he's noting the way the Warriors are creating a lot of ball pressure problems for the Lakers ball handlers, and Schroeder is particularly good at dealing with it. And you may also, with Schroeder out there, you can't not guard anybody. Like, you have to guard Dennis Schroeder, you have to guard Austin Reeves, have to guard D'Lo, obviously LeBron and AD, as opposed to Jared Vanderbilt, who for all of his defensive utility has been left unguarded. So I thought that was interesting. By the way,
Vanderbilt is playing so little that, you know, it's interesting. Let's talk about this next, and we'll get into the AD stuff too. The order of things, we've talked about shortening a rotation, lengthening your rotation, how hard that is to do against Golden State in terms of shortening it. What if you're not going to start a guy like Vanderbilt? Does he play at all? It's kind of an interesting question, which I will ask you next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by eBay Motors, and for a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need the parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can make sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and then look for the green check to know that the part will fit or your money back. And just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you will be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a winner when the right parts are guaranteed. So get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So we'll get to this AD stuff because while you and I don't like spending a lot of time talking about like other media on this show, it's sort of navel gazing. It's not something I'm really that interested in doing. Today we're going to, because the response in many circles to Anthony Davis's injury on Wednesday was awful. And so it's worth a discussion. But, you know, to kind of just finish up this thing about what to expect for game six, like, I've thought about that. Like, is it time to pull Vanderbilt because he is being ignored? It's, you know, I said at the beginning of the series, a lot of what works and or who wins is going to be determined by which players that the other team is completely ignoring do more. Game five, Draymond Green went off from a point standpoint. Like 20, what do you have, 20 or 21?
20.
Like that's like 60 for Draymond.
Oh, I mean, 13 points from Gary Payton II is big.
Right. You start adding those things in there. And like the Lakers, you know, that's 9 points, 10 points, 12 points, 14 from Vanderbilt. Like those kinds of things. He is being completely ignored. And if he's not been playing enough to be sort of a difference maker, like these are the kind of tweaks that I find fascinating. Like, do you go smaller, leave Vanderbilt off the floor and just shorten the rotation that much more, maybe even just for one game, because it's hard to run that way against the Warriors long-term.
I think Vanderbilt has enough defensive utility that you would play him.
He's only played, I think 14, 10 and 10 in the last
sure,
3 years.
But
he's not playing a lot.
He's not playing a lot, but I think he offers enough that he would still play. But I understand where you're coming from, and then you are not wrong that they need more production from that spot. Speaking of which, I don't know if this really qualifies as a true adjustment as much as just something I think is needed. I want to see a few more shots from Rui Hachimura when he's on the floor, and a lot more from Lonnie Walker. Like Lonnie didn't take a shot during his 16 minutes in the first half. And I know like he laid the foundation of no shots until the fourth quarter heard round the world in game four. And
right. I mean, that did work really well.
Right. But
athletes are very superstitious.
They are
like repeat things.
They are. I get it, but he needs to take first half shots. He needs to be involved because he's a more diverse player than Malik Beasley. He's a better playmaker. He's a better defender. He's a better athlete. He, you know, he's obviously more dynamic than Troy Brown. But he's not out there really for his versatility. He's out there to score. Right. And we've talked before about Rui. Like, this is a tough matchup for him defensively. But at the same time, there are guards by definition, because of why it's a difficult matchup for him. There are guards out there that he should be able to isolate and bully on more. And I think he needs to make the most of his minutes, or more so from an offensive perspective. Like, I don't think Rui's been bad, but I don't think he's necessarily done enough either.
I feel like the Lakers as a team just need to be, they've been at their best when they've been very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this game is going to be based on how the whistles get blown. You would expect a more favorable whistle in LA than the Lakers got in San Francisco on Wednesday. But, you know, it is the Lakers, you know, and this has been, you know, the flops and this and that, and Jermichael Green, you know, throwing some shade at LeBron about, you know, the Lakers flopping, and, you know, LeBron's comments about how they don't practice flopping. And maybe we'll get back into this before the show's over. But, like, it is true, 100% true. The Lakers' offense is predicated a great deal on getting the line. Now, that is because they drive the paint. They look for contact. They are the aggressors. They play downhill when they're going well. But they're still looking for whistles and looking for contact. They didn't really get the whistles on Wednesday. And when that happens, it really throws their offense off. We cannot let that happen on Friday. If you're not getting the calls, can't stop driving lane. You have to keep being aggressive, but they got to do a better job of just continuing to play.
To this point, Brian, for the entire playoffs in the Lakers' 7 wins, they're averaging 25 free throws per game, and in losses, just 18. And specifically against the Warriors, that gap gets even bigger. In their 3 wins, they're averaging 24 free throws per game, in losses, 16, rounding up. So it's a massive discrepancy, and especially at home, and after all this talk about the refs and what's flopping, what's a foul, whatever. I look, every team around the league complains about the officials. Every team has a certain amount of flopping. There's an element of, you know, Jermichael Green kind of pulling a, you know, Jadillon Greenbrooks here. Like, you know, you really want to poke the bear with LeBron. But there's also an element, because LeBron was saying that they don't practice flopping. He's never been a team that's flopping. And truth is, all these teams do. But the reality is, the Lakers need to force this issue early in LA, create a crowd that gets hostile if the refs don't give them trips to the line, because this is how they're
offense. By the way, when people talk about flopping, they're also including the head snapbacks and all the other little histrionics stuff that they pick on. I will say, like, sometimes Schroeder is at the, you know, Schroeder, who did an excellent acting job in game 4, you know, that we all saw in terms of drawing, pretending to draw contact. But, you know, like, I do sometimes think we underrate what it is to take a shot from some of these guys as big and as strong as they are, particularly if you're like 120 pounds like Dennis Schroeder is.
Particularly too, if we're being honest, Golden State sets a lot of moving screens.
They do.
So those hurt even more.
Yeah, no, they do. Let's talk about the reaction to Anthony Davis, because starting on the TNT postgame show, Shaq and Barkley, and then really escalating in with Stephen A. Smith in the morning on ESPN on Get Up. Just, I mean, going on a minutes long rant. How would you frame it? Questioning Anthony Davis's toughness, questioning the validity of his injury.
They were all, I would say, questioning the idea that the elbow that he took from Kevon Looney would be capable of...
Except for Windy.
Right. Except for, yeah, Brian Windhorst during this segment sat very silently looked
disgusted, but
yes,
didn't say anything.
There was a lot of, I think, questioning that this elbow from Looney to AD's head would have been capable of causing a concussion in the first place, that it was that forceful, or I guess the idea of if anybody could get concussed by such a weak elbow, it would be Anthony Davis.
That was, that was the other big part.
They were, I think, in both in so many words and also just in their complete tone and laughter and whatever, calling Anthony Davis soft. I mean, they were just outwardly mocking and disrespecting Anthony Davis as just complete softness as a player, mindset, etc.
I think it is fair game to you know, even harp on Anthony Davis's availability issues.
He's injury prone.
That is a reality with him.
Yes. It's not a character judgment.
No, he gets hurt a lot.
Yes.
Certain guys,
it is impossible to dispute this.
Right. It's impossible. Hurt a lot. And certain guys, I don't mean this in like the Kobe sense, like not everybody's built for this. So like the human body isn't built for what these guys do for a living. And certain people, genetically, whatever it might be, just aren't blessed the same way as others. You know, go talk to Brandon Roy about, you know, the physical toll that this game can take. And Anthony Davis is blessed with incredible physical skills, but the same things that, you know, make him so versatile that he grew like 14 inches. And like, was it like his first year in college or whatever?
No, but it was in high school.
In high school, you know, right up and, you know, right up before he went to school and all that kind of stuff. He shoots up. I'm like, people aren't supposed to be doing this. It is not fair. It is not reasonable. And it is particularly unfair and unreasonable and contemptible, I think, to question and rag on guys for head injuries. You've got some other stuff that you want to say about this, and I am particularly interested in how this might impact the way Anthony Davis comes out in Game 6. And we'll talk about that next. So, yeah, like I said, I just – this – the notion – and I don't care what Stephen A. says. He was minimizing – concussions. He was minimizing head injuries.
You're referencing his apology.
Yeah, I'm referencing his apology. I'm referencing what he said on air. All of it. I mean, he can say that he wasn't, but by mocking it, you are. And mocking, it showed a tremendous amount of ignorance as to what kinds of blows to the head can create a concussion. It is not to his point, like Ronnie Lott taking you out in the middle of the field, because like part of what allows head injuries to be so prevalent is the assumption that unless you take a hit like that, you can't get a concussion. My kids play youth soccer. They're not allowed to head the ball until they're 11 or 12 years old or whatever it is, because just heading the ball multiple times over the course, it can give you a concussion. Yeah. So it just, I was actually more kind of deeply offended by some of the reaction to this. I think because in part it was a head injury than I might have otherwise been. But if it was a different player, they wouldn't have reacted the same way.
That is a big part of it. And Stephen A. ended up tweeting out because there was a lot of negative reaction to the things that he said on First Take. And tweeted out, blowback is blowback, comes with the territory, peeps. I was in no way minimizing the seriousness of a concussion. I was questioning whether Anthony Davis really had one, considering the play I saw and the other hits I've seen him absorb. But bottom line, it was wrong for me to do, period, my bad. What's interesting about that is it's actually not an apology to Anthony Davis. It's essentially an apology to, I guess, what would be considered the concussion community.
Right, big concussion.
Like, yeah, like the head injury community. Like the way if somebody threw out a racial slur while they were on air, they would make an apology to that community that they use the slur towards. Like, it wasn't actually an apology to Anthony Davis. What's interesting about that, though, is the idea of whether Anthony Davis could or could not have had a concussion from that hit, beyond the fact that Stephen A. and, you know, we've both worked with Stephen A. a little bit, had a perfectly fine relationship, nothing against him personally. This was bad professionalism on his part. Beyond the fact that Stephen A. would have absolutely no idea whether or not this would actually cause a concussion or not, the truth is Anthony Davis never claimed to have a concussion in the first place. It's not like AD ran off the court yelling, I'm concussed, this hit, oh my, and like demanded everybody take care of him. Other than Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report and TNT reporting that they didn't think, you know, early on that this was a concussion, all of the talk of concussion was really just speculation and people wondering, oh, he's showing some signs that sometimes are related to a concussion. I wonder if that happened. Right. But the idea that Anthony Davis would somehow deserve mocking because other people were speculating that he had a concussion.
Yeah, right.
Like, go off on the other people.
But even then, it's like the guy was clearly
right
woozy. He was clearly, you know, had his, you know, I hate the expression, but his bell rung, so to speak. Like, he was not of normal, you know, ability there. It reflects something to me that drives me nuts. This sort of, it's the worst of athlete culture and the way we really as much fan culture about the way we talk about athletes, where it all kind of comes in. Back in my day, nobody did that stuff. Back when, you know, you played through that, nobody was leaving a game because they got bumped in the head with a little bit of a forearm. You know, MJ would have played through that. Kobe would have come back. There's no way Kobe leaves the floor because of that. Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's so much of that culture. Okay, great. It's part of the lore. It's part of, tons of it was stupid, and most of it was bad for athletes. Allowing athletes to play with torn ligaments in their knees and elbows and after taking huge hits to the head, those were dumb things that we shouldn't have been doing. I mean, you're old enough, Andy, you remember, like, we're not far, you know, when you go to football and you're in training camp in the fall, and like, if you need water, that's considered a sign of weakness. Like, yeah. No water for you, because you need to be able to show toughness as opposed to dying of heat stroke.
The other thing, though, when you mention the part about athlete toughness, and, you know, it was very clear from the way Charles Barkley and Shaq, and then eventually Kenny Smith, were just in this giggle fit over Anthony Davis and, you know, the idea that he at some point needed a wheelchair, or it was decided to put him in a wheelchair because somebody that is having difficulty walking, why would you not put him in a wheelchair? What's the point of making them walk? But the three of them are in hysterics about this. And Ernie Johnson a few times is like, what are you guys laughing about? What are you guys laughing about? And, you know, they're making up different things, you know, making up different rationales or whatever. And it dawned on me that there's an irony in this situation where Shaq and Barkley, and then later Kenny Smith, they're implying through their laughter that Anthony Davis was too soft to play through that hit to the head. Yet none of them had the stones to actually say it.
Or that, I mean, if it was that, or if it was the wheelchair part of it, that like, okay, a lot of drama here or whatever.
No, but none of
right.
them
at least just... Stephen A. said his mocking out loud.
Right. None of them actually, upon multiple invitations from Ernie Johnson, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? And Kenny Smith even said, like, everybody, in so many words, everybody knows why we're laughing. None of them actually had the cojones to just say, there is nobody else who would be soft enough to get knocked out of a game and create speculation about a concussion other right. than Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis have to be wheeled out of the building.
Because that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what they're putting out there, yet they don't actually have, again, the stones to say it while mocking somebody for being soft. There's an irony to that.
I had seen some people saying that they were laughing at a joke that Charles made that was different, you know, like a double entendre kind of thing, basically sort of a anatomy joke. I am not buying it. I don't think that's what they were laughing at.
Here's the thing, though. If they were... I know
they could have said that out loud.
Well, no, I know the anatomy that they are referencing there, and it only goes on. People can figure it out for themselves. It only goes on to prove my point.
So the last thing I want to do before we go here is I had said, you know, I want Anthony Davis to be left off every postseason award thing for the rest of his career, like all of them. He's already going to the Hall of Fame. He doesn't need second team All NBA to make the Hall of Fame. Because
nobody really does want to win Defensive Player of the Year. Dave McMenamin was doing Lakers, the pregame show on 710, the Lakers radio partner, and he talked about how he's discussed this with Anthony Davis, and AD really wants to win that thing.
He said it in preseason, you know, exit interviews. He said it in preseason interviews, Prexit interviews, all that stuff. Prentrance. It's, you know, these are the kinds of things that seem to bug him. You know, these sorts of slights where he doesn't get any real love for all defensive teams. You know, we're not just Defensive Player of the Year. You know, again, reminder, he played more minutes than Jaren Jackson did. But the idea that he, you know, isn't on this team, it does seem to get under his skin and motivate him to do it. I wonder if this, because this is really personal, this kind of mocking, doesn't get him even to another level tonight in game six. Because I guarantee you he heard it all and was ticked about all of it, and rightly so.
Well, here's the thing, though. His game is going to be, his performance in game six, assuming everything stays on track and he plays, it is going to be dissected as a statement no matter how the thing shakes out. If he has a dominant game, it's going to be a statement. If he has a bad game, it's going to be a statement. If he just sort of blends into the background, it's going to be a statement. He has an opportunity to basically have a post-game interview where all he says is double middle fingers and walks off. But where I feel bad for AD, even if I understand in certain ways how this happens, just because, you know, the injury thing with him is real. And there are times where Anthony Davis can be, I think, a little too content offensively to let defenses come to him as opposed to force the issue. The reality is AD could have a 40-20-10 five block game six that puts away Golden State by 30 and seals this series and takes them to either Denver or Phoenix. We're recording right now while that game's going on. All it will take is one bad game in the next series for this to all start over again. Like, until AD wins like finals MVP twice, that dude is Sisyphus pushing that stone up the hill, and that's just the man's fate right now. Just
look, and some of it is fair, some of it is not. But what, you know, I think
it's when you make it personal.
There you go. Real quick, in one word, who wins?
Lakers.
I agree.
Lakers.
On to the Western Conference Finals. Locked on Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. Participate in a vibrant Lakers community of almost 17,000 subscribers. We'll be back after the game Friday night to break it all down and hopefully talk about a run into the next round. See everybody next time.